Imagine what it would feel like if you really ran your business instead of letting your business run you. First, I want you to take a deep breath and acknowledge how far you've already come. You are brave, smart, and powerful. I'm Jen, and I'd love to link arms with you and hand you the resources that will help you get to the next level, the level where you truly step into your power and make your dream business a reality. I've created for you what I wish had been there for me, the ultimate owner's manual to running an abundant and profitable business that will provide you the money and the energy to live, not just survive, the tools to run your salon suite or booth rental business that will honor your bank account and your well-being. It's time to say hello to pricing for profit and goodbye to what drains you and enjoy being part of the biggest shift this industry has ever seen. Just because you're independent doesn't mean you're alone. Head to shampoosociety.com and get instant access to Salon Suite University today and claim your best life.
I'm so excited that you're here. So you are the Independent Stylist Podcast. That is your Instagram handle. And you're a hairstylist. So tell everyone like who you are, what's your deal? You're a licensed hairstylist. You've been doing hair since 2007.
I don't work behind the chair anymore. I did.
But you did for a lot of years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I stopped when my third one was born in 2018.
Okay.
And I was kind of wrapping up. I knew I was done. I was done since 2016, and it just took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do next. And I wanted to stay in the industry. I niched down very quickly because when I started out on my own, I started as like doing an associate program. And then when I started out on my own was right when the recession hit.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing you saying that.
Oh, it's bad. Like,
so we're talking about, so for people that are listening that might be a little younger than us, that is 2008. We had a major recession. And it really, really hit our industry like that.
And so like when people are like, the industry's not recession proof, I'm just like, shut up. Because totally, like, have you lived through a recession? Like what, like, let's be real. And anybody that's in working in this climate now, like there's a lot of people that'll tell you like, that's just not true. But so like the people that I looked up to, like the girl that I worked for, like all of the higher level stylists in the commission salon that I was in, they went from like ordering out sushi to like packing their lunches, like everybody was affected. And I was like, okay, I'm new. I was, I think 28, 29 at the time. I'm like, if I don't figure out a way to differentiate myself, I'm screwed because I'm not even as good as these other people and they're feeling it. So how am I ever going to build a clientele when they're like losing theirs? So I majored in marketing. So I knew enough to look for a niche, to look for something to set myself apart. And I just started looking around to see what that was. Long story short, it turned out to be curly hair, especially in Tampa. Like the huge clientele that needed it. Nobody was doing it. Mm-hmm. And my business took off almost overnight. I went from like being kind of a newbie stylist. I lied to WeDad, which was my first training. You had to be a stylist for 5 years or they wouldn't let you come to the class. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was a stylist for 5 years. Thank you.
I love this story.
Stupid. And so, but it just took off. It was amazing. I got a lot of good people. I got a lot of patient people because there was one other salon in like Los Olas, like Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. And they were like, I was like, is it okay? Do you like your haircut? And they were like, it's fine. It's not quite as good as where I went, but I don't have to drive to Miami now to get my haircut. So it was just kind of like a perfect storm of all of those things, but I grew really fast. And I went into a suite pretty soon after that because I just wanted to be on my own. Like I had like, there were a couple other stylists that were just kind of tools that would like approach my clients under the dryer. Like, hey, come to me. Like I can do curly hair. Stupid, ridiculous. Like, really? So I went off on my own. But then when you're on your own, you're still like a newer stylist. People didn't know it. Like most of my clients that would come to me, they'd come to the suite. What is this? I've never seen anything like this. This is so cool. And you're a one man band. Like when you go out on your own, you're the receptionist, you're the tech support, you're doing everything. So I just wanted to keep my head above water and give great service and not get burnt out. And I slowly learned things and I realized I can then maybe now teach people so they don't have to go through some of the things I went through whether it's like how to price services, boundaries. A lot of people know me for boundaries because some of my content is a little bit spicy, but remember, I do not have a client facing account. You guys that are watching this, I'm speaking to you. You're my ideal client, not Becky that's going to come get a facial at 2 o'clock today. So I don't give a fuck what Becky thinks.
Right.
I want to point out to you whether Becky's a bad client or not. Right. You know, and this is how I'm talking to you through Instagram. So always remember the stuff that I don't like to tell people what to post, but the stuff that you see me post, if I still had an active behind the chair account, I wouldn't say all of the stuff that I say, like to a client facing account, but people will take advantage of you if you let them.
Yes.
It is not a negative mindset. It's a realistic mindset to understand that. It's not everybody, but you need to be able to spot them. You need to be able to know that it's okay to tell them, I'm like, went off on a tangent, to tell them you're not a match to work together, to spot red flags. Red flags, I might not have the same red flags in a client that you do. We might have somebody that I might think is the biggest pain in the butt ever might be one of your favorite clients.
Right.
Totally possible. It just depends. And then there's the people that like no service provider is going to have a great experience dealing with them. But like the net is understanding who is not a match to work with you and believing it's okay to like separate yourself from them or saying that's not okay. No, I'm not going to give you a discount. No, you can't talk to me like that. Like, yeah, my policies are strict for an esthetician. Right. No, that's, what is that, like, what is that saying to you? Like, that's so rude. You know, what does it mean? Like, just because you're an esthetician or because, like, it's basically saying, like, I had a client say this to me one time, I'm a physician and my policies aren't even that strict. And I was like, well, I have a friend that's a physician and she already told me they never taught her anything about business. So I'm not surprised that your policies aren't that strict because you don't know how to run a business.
I love this. And that's one reason why I'm just so in love with you. So I found you, I don't know, 6 months ago, and I just started filing. So people that don't know me, I'm an esthetician. I'm in San Diego and I've been doing skincare for 22 years, but I went out on my own 4 years ago. And I love hairstylists. I come from a family of hairstylists. And
you grew up around salons, right?
Yeah. And something that I just love about Jennifer is the content that you're bringing, especially in the skincare realm, because we don't have a lot of people like you that were in the room or behind the chair, even though it's, you know, we're sisters, right? Or cousins or whatever people want to call us, that are talking about the things you're talking about. And I, even though you guys see me with this big personality, and I seem very strong, I come off very strong over Instagram, I am terrible at boundaries. Gotten a lot better since the pandemic. But people like you have really helped me. And so I, you know, I run a Facebook group with 42,000 beauty creatives, which is hairstylists, estheticians, makeup artists, and beauty school students. And I just love that you're bringing this because it's so important. In fact, yesterday here at my salon, one of my, actually you posted something this week and you said, would you give away $100,000? And I thought to myself, I've probably already done that. You also talk about emotional discounting, which I think is super important because a lot of us do that. You know, you'll have a client in your chair or on your bed and they're talking about the, you know, the problems or the challenges they're going through. And in your head, you're thinking, oh my God, should I give them a discount? And I think the content you're bringing is really, really important. And I think what you're doing is fantastic and I totally appreciate it. And that's why I keep hounding you to do programs that I can share with my students because this is not my niche at all. I teach Brazilian waxing and intimate lightening and how to use Groupon. And so I just love that you are you. And that's something that I talk about all the time. You know, people just being themselves and not dimming themselves down, which is a problem, right? Because society doesn't understand creatives or beauty creatives, right? Like people don't understand us and they judge us. And if they only knew, like I work in a soul, like how much money the people out there in my world are making, they would die. So, and a lot of us don't talk about numbers, you know, and whether you do or don't, that's your own thing. But I can tell you that I make more money from my aesthetic license than my 4-year degree, which I love and adore, but I didn't start making, I couldn't support myself at 27 until I went to beauty school. And that's the facts. And I, you know, I didn't study business or something like practical like that, but for beauty creatives, and there are millions of billions of us, this kind of work is really important that you're doing. And I just love it. So can you talk a little bit about the emotional discounting? Because I have a friend here, I don't know if she's watching. And she said to me, I said, what are you doing on Monday? Because I wanted to go on a hike with her. And she said, I'm doing two stylist hair, two people that she knows. And I said, I hope you're charging them. And she said, well, one will try and pay. And this one does this for me and this. And I never do trades because they never worked out in my 22 years. It never works out. It's never fair. You never get the service that you want. And can you just speak a little bit to the stylists and estheticians and makeup artists and I don't care what you are, if you're on here. Jennifer has, this is her thing. So if you're an emotional discounter, most of us are, we need to hear how we get away from that. Okay. So why do we do it and how do we get better?
Circle me back when I'm done and we'll talk about trading too, because that's still part of emotional discounting. Okay.
Okay.
So an emotional discount, for those of you, there's no like textbook definition for what it means, but it means giving for somebody some kind of deal, charging less than you should, because in some way it makes you feel that that's the right thing to do. You feel like you're, whether like you're a people pleaser, whether you're like
a lot of us are,
and that's part of this industry. Like a lot of us are, this industry attracts good, caring people. But you can be a good, caring person and not be broke. But if you're a good, caring person to just every one of your clients, you're not gonna make any money at all. I hate to say that because it sounds so harsh, but I would rather, I'll take the heat for that and just remember it, you know. And that's why it's like, I'm always like, dig into your numbers, understand. I had a woman message, I hope she's watching this, that was DMing me this morning, that was like, last night, I have a friend, she was a permanent makeup artist, I think. And she's like, I have a friend, I'm gonna be doing her, and I'm not sure how much I should charge her. I don't wanna charge her full price, but you know how this all goes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I always come back with, do you have my easy money book? Cause some people do, some people don't. And so if they say no, I'm like, go get it. And if they say yes, I'm like, how much are you going to lose if you charge her? Say it's $300 for bra. I don't even know how much that costs, but say it's like $300.
It's like six or seven. So
say it's $700. So this is a bad example. I'm going to do this. Let's do it with a Brazilian wax. Let's do it to speak to who's watching or facial or something. How much is a Brazilian?
Mine are 65.
Okay. How long does it take you?
I book out 30 minutes.
Okay. So it's $65 for 30 minutes. Do you take tips?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know if you had it. All right. So, and you are pretty much, your schedule runs 30, 30, 30. Like most of your services are 30 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you had a friend, how do you decide how much money you want to lose? Like, should I charge them $30? Like, what does it cost you to do the service? What does it cost you to be in your Sola?
Yeah.
If you work 30 hours a week and your rent at Sola is $1,500 a month, you do the math. I won't do it right now because my head will explode. You do that and you figure out, well, it costs me $9 an hour just to be there.
Right.
It costs me, and this is what we were talking about privately. I'm like, I don't know how much it costs for wax for each person. There's probably a way to figure it out. How much does the wax cost?
Right.
If you're using hard wax, there's no strips. But if you're using strips, sticks, do you have to change the stuff on the table? There's think of all of the stuff that goes into that. So that like your net profit is probably going to be an independent stylist. People go nuts when they hear this. Is any like commissioned salon owners, 49 to 51%. It's totally possible to be in that range so that like for every 60 you make, you're keeping 30 just to keep it even.
Yeah.
Well, if you do it for 30, you're giving away, you're not making anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't make sense. And it's like, okay, you're going to do that for free. That's wear and tear on your body. We have a very physical job. If you broke your arm, you couldn't go to work.
Right.
You know, you, with what you do, you maybe could work if you broke your ankle, maybe, but like if you hurt your hand, you couldn't work there. Like there's all this stuff. So it just doesn't make sense. What are they, what's the friend doing for you now?
We're right.
Like trading, but like emotional is the same thing. You're waxing this client. They're telling you about their kid has prom and everybody picks on the kid, or their kid has something coming up and it's just some sad story. And I sound very emotionally detached right now, and that's on purpose, because I'm not, you know, you're listening and you're not thinking like, boo, like you're like, that sucks. They're pulling your heartstrings. It does not mean, and they're telling you, oh, something happened to the car. We have this like $1,500 thing for the car. Well, do you think they go to their mechanic and tell them the same story? And the mechanic is like, I'll knock $500.
Right.
It's just $1,000 for you today.
Right.
We do that. We totally do it. And it's wrong. And it's not, we screw ourselves over. We are setting these people up to think that it's okay to expect that from us. So that if we ever really take control and we stop doing it, we seem detached. We seem too businessy. Again, anytime I do this, it turns into that. It's like not okay. I had a client one time that I gave a huge emotional discount to that I don't regret. And it's probably the only time. She came in, brand new client. I had a cancellation after her, and I was training a new assistant. And I started cutting her hair. I'm going to talk fast so I don't get choked up. Her husband had just passed away, and she had two little boys. This is who we are as people. Like, this upsets me, you know? She didn't want to spend a lot of money, couldn't spend a lot of money, but she wanted a haircut to feel better. Well, the way the cards fell that day, and from talking to her and like understanding people and just knowing people, we gave her a cut, we gave her a color, we gave her every single treatment we had. We had time to do it. Again, everything just worked out. Is that normal? Would I ever be able to do that again? Probably not. She came to me until I stopped doing hair. She was one of my most loyal clients, best clients. It was a joy to have her in my chair. So I have to tell that side of the story, because everybody's going to do some things like that sometime. And that's a beautiful thing about what we do. We can give that gift to people.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you have to.
And you don't have to do it all the time.
Right. It doesn't. And I saw somebody say something somewhere in a comment about that. And they're like, I volunteer my time when I can. Yes. And that's how I give back, whether it's with using your trade or not. Mm-hmm. You don't owe anybody anything.
Right. Right.
And if you don't think like that, you're gonna hurt yourself financially.
Right, because then it's costing you money. And it also does something to you, I think, like on a professional level, where, you know, it's not, you and I have talked about this, like what we do isn't a hobby. People think it's fun. It's like a slumber party in here. And yeah, I've got a lot of pink and it doesn't look like, you know, it's fun in here. Like it looks like a fun house, you know, but this is a real business. And so, and it's not a joke. And I've spent thousands of dollars. It cost me more to go to beauty school than it did to go to San Diego State. And we take tons of education, especially hairstylists.
Say that one more time about what you spent on your education. You spent more?
I spent more on my degree at San Diego State.
Okay.
Oh, no. So I spent more on beauty school and all my education than I did at San Diego State. I also make more money than I do with my degree, although I love my degree. It means a lot to me, but I didn't start making any money. I couldn't support myself until I went to beauty school. So, and I think that's super valuable, because I can tell you right now, the people in my Sola make a shit ton of money, and people starting out, there's a place for you. There's a place for everyone. There's enough business for everyone. And there's more than one way to do things, right? And I think it's really interesting, because a lot of times we're taught, no, there's one way to cut hair. You know, I see it all the time in my group. Like, there's one wax. Really? Is there one hair color? Is there one way to flat iron a hair? And in the esthetician world, it's fucking crazy. Like, people think there's one way to do everything. Hair people are a lot different. And I think that's why I've gravitated so much to listening to hairstylists, because I feel like hairstylists are the good ones. The ones that want to get ahead are constantly taking classes and stuff. But we don't hire people like you that are coaches or business. But what do you call yourself? A coach, a mentor, a business? What is your
consultant and strategist?
Okay.
Is my... what I really am. A lot of times I will bill myself as a coach, because if I say consultant and strategist, people are like, don't realize what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a consultant and a strategist and an educator in general. And then I really, I like helping stylists. And then I like also helping people that want to move into the space that we're in, because it's the same thing. There's enough room for everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to come along and they'll teach something similar to what you do. Right.
Right.
And that's actually going to be good for you. And I'm sure there's other people that do it now, but I know you're one of the bigger names in the game, because people buy education from more than one person. So
Absolutely. People,
they'll buy this other person's class, then they'll see you and be like, I need that too. It's like.
Right. Well, yeah. And then getting back to you, like I, during the pandemic, so I'm in California and in San Diego, we were shut down for 7 months. In Oakland, California, it was a total of 16 months. In places like Los Angeles, it was a ton. New York, the big cities, it was really bad, right? And so during that time, that's when I started starting my online classes, and I'm not a super tech person. And so that's when I started doing that, because like you, I want to help cut the line for people that struggle, because I struggled for a really long time, really, really long time. And so when I started hiring coaches, that's when I really started making more money. And so that's why I love what you do, because I mean, I've seen the prices of your classes. To me, they're practically free. Like you can make up your money in a couple of clients. And so the kind of information that you're giving to me is invaluable. Because I never had that, you know, and I'm older, and I just think it's fantastic, because you don't, the old school thing was, you go, when I started 22 years ago, you go work for a salon for a million years, you make your little list, and you hope, and you leave in the middle of the night, and you fucking pray that those people follow you. Now, this is before social media. Now it's completely different, right? But we still have to have the education behind it. We still have to be amazing in behind the chair and in the room. So besides taking all the technical classes, we need people like you to teach people, how do we do the boundaries? How do we price? How do we do all those things? And we, creative people aren't usually super techie, but like by having someone like you that can walk us through it and make it easy for us. And also, like, we're visual people. So, you know, I see some people with their classes and I'm like, you just lost me, because it was just a really boring, like, so I love the way that you present to creatives. I mean, I just think it's fantastic. And I think, can you tell us a little bit more about the programs that you offer to help people level up their game?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm such a tool. Okay. I have, and when I started my business, I really was like, I want to teach to who I was when I needed all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Even price points. Because,
but can you say that again? You wanted to teach
to who I was. I create the resources for you that I wish had been there for me.
Right.
And it was like hard in the beginning, because there was nobody teaching anything to independent stylists when I started. But then there were, you know, now people are like, oh, go take this class. It's $500. Go take this, do this. It's $2,000.
Yeah.
100%. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of people that literally can't afford it. And it's not, they won't afford it. It's not that kind of like that mentality at all. It's like, they don't have that extra money. They won't be able to like survive that month if they don't.
Or pay their kid or feed their kids.
Right.
Well, and it's like, if you can afford, I'm just going to use this. If you can afford a $2,500 program, then you probably don't need us, you know, like you already gotten to that point. So
my stuff like, helps you get to that next level. And I can't believe how many people, like, or people that have spent a lot of money on technical education for years and years and years, then they're like, oh, I need to really like lock down my business. My easy money book is a cheesy name, but it's accurate. If you've never dug into the number side of your business, if you can fill out some worksheets and stay with me for 20 pages, you will be like, oh, when you're done, you see everything so clearly. This is what I want to make a year. This is what, you know, this is how many, I tell everyone to start with a 10-month year. See if you can take 8 weeks off a year. You only live once, you know, let's see, let's start from a place of that and see what we can get. And when you see all those numbers crystal clear and you're like, this is my profit margin, this is what I'm making, this is what I have to set aside for taxes, all of that. Then when you know that, it's really easy. I think it was you I said this to in another live we did. You can literally take, I'm looking for sticky notes that I don't have, a scrunchie, a sticky note and put it on situations. This bullshit's gonna cost me $60. Doing this thing for this person is gonna be $45. Yeah. Telling her, she can come late and we'll figure it out. And that's going to add another 45 minutes onto my day. $60. Everybody has a number right on their head for what their bullshit is going to cost you.
I love that.
And if you can see that very clearly, uh-huh. it is your business. I will never teach to an absolute. It is, I want to give people the formulas and the tools so that they can make the decisions that they feel are best for their business that work for them. And if they feel, if it makes them feel so good and they clearly see what it's doing to their numbers and they give one discount a week to somebody and it may, and they, it just, there's a selfishness in that. I listened to some podcast a while ago where he's talking about like when you acts of kindness, there's sometimes a selfishness.
Oh, absolutely.
Break it down because it makes you feel good to do it. So
right.
it sounds weird to say it, but you know what I mean? So like,
yes.
if you want to, if you feel good to just do one random act of kindness a week and give a client a deal, whatever, you can do that. But you know, every time you do that, that's going to cost you $500 a month. That's going to cost you $60 a week, whatever the number it is. But when you know those numbers, it becomes way easier to hold up your boundaries.
Right. And I'm excited because I don't care if there's one person on this call or views it, or there's 1,000, that these people that are listening to you right now, including myself, when someone comes in and I hear their story, and look, I get it. People are going through fucking hell all over the world. Look what we have in Ukraine. People are sick, and I understand. But everyone has a sob story. Everyone has money problems. Everyone has sick family, friends. Like, I get it. But I will remember what you just said. And I will say to myself, what would Jennifer do? And when you have someone that you can look up to that is living the life and also has done the work behind the chair and also, you know, behind the computer, I guess I can say, it will help these people because they will say, what would Jennifer do? And they will say no. And then when the client wants to check out, they will give them the full price because this is not a joke. Like you said, dentists don't discount because their client is going through a hard time. Like doctors don't, attorneys don't, you know, do teachers take less when someone's going through something? No. And we are professionals.
People think about think about a divorce attorney.
Right.
The horrible stuff that they.
Horrible.
They're not giving. My divorce attorney told me that my ex-husband in his 20 years, this is a long time ago, in his 20-year career was one of the worst exes he ever had to deal with. He charged me full fucking price though.
Right.
We paid him a lot of money. He heard horrific things. You know, he felt so bad. My mom sent his office a Christmas card. That's the level of relationship we had with this guy. And he still didn't give us any kind of a break because he's an attorney. He knows that he would do that with every one of his clients because literally every client has a sob story.
Right. Yeah. That's a great example. That's a great example. Thank you for sharing that because that's a vulnerable place to go back into the. So what about so you've talked a little bit about the emotional discounting and there is something else that I really love. So the post that you talked about, the 100K, that was really referring to stuff like this, right? How much do we give away? And everyone can think in their heads it's on here. Like how much did we give away this year already in discounts? What do you say to people? Because I get this in my group all the time and I'd love to hear your take on it. What do you say to people that want to do a friends and family discount?
Why? I would say why. Explain to sell, like pretend that I'm in charge of saying whether you get to do it or not and sell me on why that you should do it.
Right.
Sell me on that you know your numbers, that you know exactly what you should be making an hour, that you know exactly how much every bowl of color or chemical that's going on their head cost, how much... You know, our shears, I'm a shear snob. Not everyone's going to agree with that, but shears are $800 to $1,500 and up. Like, you know, are they even paying you to sharpen your shears? Like are they going to wash the cape after you do their hair? Are they going to sweep the hair up? Are they going to come in and wipe everything down? Are they going to, if you do it at their house, are they going to carry everything in from the car for you and set it up? Like, this is like, it's more work a lot of times to go, especially if you're going to someone's house, it's way more work. And if they come in to you, you are extending your day. You are working more to make less.
Right.
If you're giving them a discount. So tell me why it's okay to do that. And yes, if you want to give your mom or your grandma or your like the person that raised you or somebody, right, like whoever paid for your
beauty school, yeah,
something, your kids, like that kind of stuff. But other than that, like if you're, what are they doing for you?
Like, and so what do you say to people that, especially like, so when I used to work, I was a spa director for 10 years in this salon in the Fashion Valley Mall. And we would trade all the time on our downtime, but we weren't paying, it was a commission salon. So we weren't paying anything. I still hated doing it because I never felt like foiling this whole head with 300 foils or whatever, you know, amounted to a facial because the hair is so much more. So what do you say to people that aren't working in a commission salon that are solo and that they want to trade with someone in their suite? Like what, because I like to do it straight. Like I go to a girl here, she does my hair. I'm like, you know, she does give me a little bit of a discount, but I don't do trades because it's never fair and it never works for the other person. And she's spending a lot more on hair color than I am on a Brazilian wax, which costs me $5 and 15 to 30 minutes. So what do you say to people that work in our space, work in a commission or a independent salon, and they want to trade with, they're both hairstylists and they both do blonde full head highlights. Like, what do you say to that?
If it's an even service and you're both doing the same thing, it's, you could argue that it makes sense to both come in on your day off and just do each other at the same time or whatever. But then I challenge people, and I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've done that several times.
Yeah.
And I've also gone and paid $400 to have my hair done. Yeah. Like, it depends. But think about this. I would say you're going to waste a whole day off to do this. You can't do each other. Say it's, you each take 3 hours. You're going to be there at least five because you have to swap back and forth, whatever. Do you want to spend 5, 6, 7 hours on your day off working? Or would you rather, how much would you make if you worked for 5, 6, 7 hours, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather actually just go as a client, get your hair done, enjoy the service, put yourself back in the position of a client?
That's yes.
good for you, so you can kind of remember what it feels like.
Yes.
You know? And that alone is arguably more valuable than what you would save on getting your hair done, is sitting there and going, I didn't like that she didn't text me. I'm just making whatever. Like I, you know, you, it, or I really liked that she gave me a hot towel, or she did that. Like, you just remember what it's like, because it's very easy for people in our industry to never be the client, because we all have friends that do everything. We all know each other, and we all kind of, it's like working at Disney World.
Yeah.
So you don't get to really enjoy it as much. And how much are you going to save? I don't know. You know,
right.
And if you have a friend that's an, I have a friend that's an esthetician, and we used to, I'm trying to think it, I never really thought of it. It was fine at the time. I wasn't making as much money, whatever, but like, yeah, if I'm going to do somebody's hair and it's going to cost X of products on top of it, you need to make sure you're trading. You have to like write it all out. I'm going to spend 4 hours on you doing this, you would owe me for this 4 hours. This would be a $550, like a normal client would give me $550. So then when you trade, they need to make sure that they're giving you $550 worth of services. It's not gonna be probably exactly the same if you don't charge exactly the same per hour.
Right.
That's the only way, because otherwise if you just do a trade, like you said, I'll give you a blowout if you give me a wax, or I'll give you like a quick face frame foil if you give me a wax. If one person spends more time or has more product costs, it just doesn't make sense to do it.
And you never get the quality of service because you're always cutting corners, and you're like, you're resentful, right? Because you're like, oh, I'm squeezing her in and I really need to go call my mom or my vet or check on my kid or get a fucking coffee. And instead I'm doing X, Y, Z. And then you get resentful, and then, you know, you don't do your best job ever. So I really think that is super, super important. When people ask me, besides taking classes, how I became good at facials, it was going to other places and going to the best places. I went to the Ojai Valley Inn several times to get facials and massages. That's how my massage is good. Like, you know, so I think that is invaluable. We talk about all the time. Hi, Chandra. We talk all the time. People ask, someone asked in one of my groups, my friend Tammy, she has a group. She said, when was the last time you got a facial to all the girls? Well, I get one because I get them from several people. you know, because it's true. You want to remember what it feels like. Oh, that smells weird. Oh, I don't like the way that feels. Oh, that's great. You pick up new tips and tricks. And I think we forget to do that. Yeah, absolutely. So I could talk to you all day. I just adore you. Where can people follow you? Where can we find out about your programs? And your programs, can you tell us what they start at? Like, what's the cost that they start at?
$37.
So to me, that's free. I call that free. I really call it free, people. That's fucking free. Thank you.
That's like what some people would call like a tripwire in like the digital space. It's like very, it's like, so you're right. And that Easy Money book, it works for estheticians. I told you, I spent a little while last night with a girl that does brows. We were figuring out, she was taking everything I said so literally. She was trying to figure out how much for each client it costs for the wax sticks. And then we started talking. I was like, well, how much is a box of wax sticks? She's like, $8. I'm like, how many are in it? 700. I was like, that's $1. Every person gets $1.
Right.
It's hard. But I mean, so the Easy Money book will pay for itself.
In one client?
Less than one client. You should be able to make, if you're not charging right, if you don't have your money right, you should be able to make significantly more money right away. You should, like, she had this girl I was talking to last night, she had a $15 men's eyebrow wax on her menu. Mm-hmm. That was 30 minutes. And then she had a $90 lamination something.
Yeah,
that was an hour. And I was like, so if you have, I gotta pull up my calculator, if you've got, you work an 8-hour day, you have 16 men's eyebrow waxes, which I told her not to do the gender pricing, but and that's not going to happen very much, but you do 16 times 15, that's 240, or you have 8 people that get that $90 service, that's 720. Like, your services, you need to make sure that your services are, you want to set and know how much you're making per hour or per half hour. With her, we figured out with her specific business that she could charge a little bit more per hour for lash lifts than she could for brow waxes. And that's okay. That's the thing. There's no absolute to it. Mm-hmm. So when she does her lash services, it's $75 an hour. And when she does her brow services, it's $60 an hour. And I feel like I told her to get with you because when she moves to San Diego, it's going to be more. She'll be able to charge more per hour probably. But you need to understand those things. And I had her take off, like, I don't know if she did it or not, but I was like, get rid of like 7 things on your service menu. You have an iPad thing that's $10. No, it wasn't even $10. It was like $5. And it says it takes 15 minutes and they can add that on. No, you're costing yourself money by doing that. I love a pretty menu. I love all these fun add-ons too. I get it. Get rid of them. Done. No more.
I love it. And that speaks to niching down, which we could do a whole thing on that. Okay. So you also have, can you tell us about your podcast?
Yes. Oh, real quick. I have also, my other thing that I have is a book of copy and paste scripts for when clients test your boundaries. If they complain about price increases, they ask for stuff that you don't want to give them. You go, it's a Google Doc. You open it up. Copy and paste. It's really nice ways to tell people to stop, but it's professional. It's kind. It's all, it's like me telling someone fuck off for you in a professional way. They're like screenshot proof. So if they wanted to show it, look what she said to me, you could put it in front of a judge and you look like squeaky clean. What was the other thing you asked me?
I have so many questions. I just adore you. I just think you're such a blessing to this industry. We need someone like you. And, you know, I'm from California, but people are always like, are you from the East Coast? Cause there's no sugarcoating. Like, I don't have time for it. I'm too old for that. And I just love how you get to the meat of what's going on. Because this is a business. This is not a hobby. And I know it looks fun and it's pink, but it's not a slumber party. So I just adore you. I can't wait to do more things like this with you. You guys check her out. Check Jennifer out. Just watching her has just inspired me so much. And I am terrible at making boundaries and I'm working on that. And you've helped me with that, even with the little I've done with you. But I'm so excited to see all the other things that you do this year. Is there anything else you want people to know?
podcast is anywhere you can listen to a podcast.
Okay.
Stylist podcast. And that's it right now. Follow me on Instagram, sign up for my email list, and you'll never miss out when I do live classes. Sometimes I've got some things that, you know, that are coming back. But right now, I believe if you already have your money down, then this, and you need boundaries, it's the scripts. And then if you don't have either, look, I've got bundle. You can buy the books are $37 each, but you can buy all four of them for $87.
And one more question. Okay, so if there's people watching here and they're like in beauty school or they are working for a commission stylist, can you just speak to them? Because this might be in their future, or what do you suggest for them? Because let's say they're not in charge of a lot of this stuff. But I mean, this is the kind of stuff I wish I had been studying for the 18 years I worked for other people. So what
if you work for a commission salon, they have a partial responsibility to help you maintain boundaries with your clients. You shouldn't have to worry about a lot of that stuff. That's part of the benefit of working for a commission salon. But my resources, again, they're so inexpensive. They'll help you. If you ever want to go out on your own, they'll help you understand all that stuff. And then I have another bundle. That's all four of my eBooks and a 2-hour class about what it looks like to leave a commission salon and start your own business in a salon suite or as a booth renter, how to charge, how to hold your boundaries, how to kind of like set up systems so that you're not overwhelmed. And that's $97
for which I call also free. Okay. And then one more question, then I promise I'll let you go because I do have a 10 o'clock Brazilian. Okay. So if someone wants, let's say someone like me that has a lot of systems in place, but just wants to do like some, do you do just private 1-hour or 30-minute coaching sessions with people that are like, I just want to talk to Jennifer for 30 minutes about XYZ. Do you do those or do you not have time for that?
I do it for, if you want to become an educator and do what we do, I have time for that. I should be open. I said I wasn't going to open anymore up until 4:15, but I always say that. And then I always cave and do some. It is $297 for 90 minutes is where we're at right now with the price, just so you know. And then if I had time, I would do more coaching.
I understand
group coaching, but it's just not, I don't have time right now.
Okay, well, I need to know that because I need to send people to you for the individuals for $297 because some people want that one-on-one coaching. And I don't do that. People ask me that. I don't do
only
it.
Only beyond the chair.
Yeah,
that's not boundaries or any of that stuff. If you want someone that does that for the, I can send you somebody.
Okay.
That'll do the one-on-ones for that. I wish I had time. I just don't right now.
Well, you are so fabulous. I'm just so thrilled that we got to share you with more people, and we will do more of these and follow Jennifer at the Independent Stylist Podcast. I'm going to post this below. How do I add you, Jennifer, so that you're also a collaborator or contributor? Isn't that allowed on this or no?
It'll come up when you go to post it. It'll say like, do you want to add a person?
Okay. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you have questions for Jennifer or me, just send us a DM. And then wait, Jennifer, smile so I can take a picture of you. Oh, wait, one more question, even though I said I was done with questions. Two questions, and then I promise. Who does your hair?
My girl that was doing it is going to kill me. This was me this time.
You did it? You guys are so bad, you hairstylists.
I have a 3-year-old that is very high needs, and it was just
easier. It looks fabulous.
Thank you.
You guys all do that. Okay, that's my
first. I didn't want to do it. I would not recommend doing it. I just needed it done quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my last question for you is, who are some of your hair heroes? And then I'll let you go.
Business or technical?
Just whatever. Whatever comes to your head.
The woman that changed my life was We Dad Wise, and she sold, it's We Dad, OUIDAD.
Her yes, I know them. Sold. I've used them. Yes.
She's fantastic. She was like my original mentor, Michael Cole, who's a business coach. The irony of that is he coaches a lot to like commission salons and stuff, but like I followed what he taught. I went to a school that he was literally at sometimes, and I just did what he said, and I started making 6 figures, and a lot of it was because of the advice of his. I've actually gotten to work with him and do podcasts with him, which has been amazing. And then I'm just trying to think in general, like a lot of my people are all curly, like Elise Harris from Cut It Kinky. She's definitely somebody I recommend following. I feel like I'm at the Emmys and I'm forgetting who to thank. There's like,
so your hair just, okay. I promise. I swear to your computer that this is the last question. Your hair is naturally really curly. Mm-mm. No, you just love curly hair.
I knew a good business opportunity.
Interesting. I love it. I love everything about you. Okay. Well, you guys follow Jennifer. And Jennifer, I promise not to overwhelm you with requests for classes and stuff, but I probably will. But you can tell me no, because we have boundaries.
That's a whole nother class. It's a whole nother business. So I'm learning to you are too. It's a whole different thing to navigate. And it's like, let me learn that now too.
This is the last thing, and I promise we're done. You already are doing it. I mean, I have learned so much from you. You already are doing it. I just want it more for my people, you know? So there will be more people. It might not come out tomorrow, but follow Jennifer because she's fucking amazing. And she's going to help you make more money and enjoy your life and help you create the life that you deserve, because there is a place for everyone and there's enough business for everyone. And everyone you see is a potential client. That's my elevator pitch.
You are worthy of whatever you are willing to work for.
That's yours. I love it. Say it again.
You are worthy of whatever you are willing to work for.
That's awesome. Well, you're just a doll. Okay, well, you have a fabulous Friday.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Libby.
Bye.